proud. The people of Czechoslovakia mourn deeply. Jan Palach, 21 years old, a philosophy student, had taken his life in a most terrible way in protest against the Soviet occupation of his country. With hundreds of thousands of people lining the route, his mother's tears of grief were shared openly by all who knew so well what Jan Palach's sacrifice had been for. There was an odd stillness over the city as the young martyr's coffin was borne to Prague Cemetery.
50 years ago today, a young Czech university student named Jan Palach doused himself in petrol and set himself alight at the top of Prague's Wenceslas Square. 3 days after staging this desperate attempt to rouse a demoralized Czechoslovakia in the face of Soviet occupation, he died in a Burns clinic. Though his immediate political goals failed, Jan Palach inspired and steeled the resolve of countless others to fight for freedom during the 2 decades of normalization that followed the crushing of the Prague Spring. In death, Jan Palach would become known as the conscience of the nation, hailed as a martyr of exceptional courage and character. Hundreds of thousands gathered in the freezing rain to watch the funeral procession of the hitherto unknown student who was buried at a ceremony at Charles University organized by his peers, few of whom actually knew him.
Jan and many of his fellow students held a growing fear that their countrymen were getting accustomed to the Soviet occupation. Jan set himself ablaze. His death was the spur he'd hoped it would be. Jan Palach was quietly laid to rest. His family did not mourn alone. The Czech nation will not quickly forget the selfless act of the young man who died for his country's freedom.
Jan Palach died for that cause in agony, with third-degree burns over 85% of his body, slipping in and out of consciousness, under heavy medication to ease the suffering. His main concern was what the reaction had been to his act of self-immolation. Psychiatrist Zdenka Kumičková spent some time at his bedside in the Burns ward and recorded their conversation. His lungs were severely damaged in the fire, and both he and the attending doctors knew death was near. Struggling to speak, at times gasping for breath, Jan Palach repeated his reasons for doing what he did. I wanted to voice my disagreement with what is happening here and wake people up, he said.
A s čím konkrétně?
How, she asked.
Zapálit se.
Zapálit se.
By burning ourselves.
S kým, Honzi?
Jo, tak to už je.
And are there more of you?
A je vás víc?
Yes.
Myslíš, že v tom mají pokračovat?
Doctors tried to persuade Jan Palach to make some kind of statement to dissuade others from following his example of suicide as the ultimate act of protest. So too did the prominent student leader Lubomír Holeček, whom Palach didn't know but had asked to come see him in the hospital. By that time, Palach was only hours away from death and almost unable to speak. Yet Holeček put together a statement attributed to Palach, which he was allowed to read out on the radio.
Můj čin splnil účel, ale ať už to nikdo neudělá, ať se ty studenty pokusíš zachránit.
My act fulfilled its role, but no one else should follow me. Students should try to save themselves and devote their lives to fulfilling our goals. They should fight alive.
Ať se přičiní živí k boji.
Dnes odpoledne v 15:30 student Jan Palach zemřel.
Jan Palach died on January 19th. Hunger strikers gathered on Wenceslas Square in his honor that day, and mass anti-communist demonstrations followed. His funeral on January 25th was by far the largest mass gathering in Czechoslovakia since the Soviet-led Warsaw Pact invasion the previous August. No one from the government dared make an appearance for fear of provoking the Kremlin. His death ignited a rash of other self-immolations over the following months by a student named Jan Zajíc in Prague, workers in Pilsen and Brno, and a toolmaker in Jihlava. At the time, the authorities were unsure whether torch number one, Jan Palach, had in fact acted alone. So says historian Jakub Jarasz of Charles University, who co-authored a groundbreaking book on Jan Palach.
What can you say about his character? I've read that he was quite introverted, a bit religious. He lost his father early. He was quite a serious young man, and he did a brigada in the Soviet Union, and that had an effect on him as well.
I would say he was, first of all, very sensitive and very political. And that's actually the reason why all the political development of the Czechoslovakia experienced in such a, let's say, sensitive way, and that he really lived by the politics and what was happening. We know that he really enjoyed the Czech history, that his dream was to study history at the Faculty of Arts. We think, and the people who know him say, that he was quite kind of introvert person with really not many friends, some friends, but not so many. So we have just these testimonies from the other people. He left no diary or something which would be...
Get into his head. A recording has emerged from his hospital bed where a nurse and a doctor are talking to him about why he did it and if there were others that would follow. Mm-hmm. His letter was saying that he's torch number one. Mm-hmm. Has it definitively been settled now that there really was no torch number two or three?
There was not. I would say it was a wish of Palach to have some people who will follow him. To follow him definitely not in the same way. He was hoping that other people will protest in different way, the freedom of Czech nation. And he actually wanted just to provoke people to do something. And that's why he, like a kind of tactics, wrote in his letter that there is a group of people who will protest in the same way, but there wasn't. And he was really solitary activist, solitary protester. And Jan Zajíc, who came after him in February, was a different kind, who was inspired by Palach.
Would you say that he was quite sophisticated, savvy, beyond his years? I mean, he was only 20 years old when he came up with this protest, and when he wrote that letter, it was very specific and achievable demands to end censorship, to end the publication of the occupation newspaper, which had no legal basis to be mm-hmm. publishing.
He was considering the number of the demands, and he was actually shortening the list. At the beginning, he was asking for more. He was asking for some people from the Communist Party to be left out from the Central Committee. But then he decided that he will ask just for these two specific demands, which were actually, from his perspective, easy to achieve. But actually nothing from his demands was fulfilled. And this is the question still, whether actually his protest was, from the political perspective, naive.
Whether he died in vain.
Yeah, whether he died in vain. From the political perspective, he died in vain because nothing happened. From the moral perspective, it's still open question whether he died in vain or not, because he inspired the people. And the question now is whether the inspiration brings something good to the Czech society or not. And this is what we are living right now, I would say.
I'd like to go back a little bit, actually, and talk about the reaction of the communists at that time. I mean, there were some 200,000 people who turned out for the funeral procession. It was a widely filmed event known around the world. How did they try to change the narrative, to get people to forget or to understand it in a different way?
Yeah, definitely. It started already in January, and it came from the Soviet Union, from Brezhnev, who sent a letter to conservative communists in Czechoslovakia with with an interpretation that Palach was misused by some people who wanted to continue in the chaos of Prague Spring, and that he actually used so-called cold fire, but someone changed the substance and he immolated himself by accident. So this was the Soviet interpretation, which was forced by the media later, by the Soviet media. But in the Czechoslovakia itself, it was rather about silencing Palach. There wasn't even negative commemoration of Jan Palach during the normalization period. It was silenced.
It was only discovered recently that, before his self-immolation, Palach had written to the student leader, Lubomir Holeček, suggesting students try to seize the Czechoslovak radio building and broadcast appeals for a general strike. That Palach had considered many avenues of political resistance before resorting to self-immolation to awaken the nation. Historian Petr Blažek, who co-wrote the book with Jakub Jarasz, said in an earlier interview with Radio Prague that this letter places Jan Palach's suicide in a new context.
I think that this document is interesting because it sheds light on the way that Palach was thinking about formulating his final letter and his final set of demands. It shows us that he was considering different forms of protest and that his immolation, which was a very radical thing to do indeed, did not take place on the spur of the moment.
Among those Jan Palach clearly did inspire were numerous eventual signatories of Charter 77, the informal civic initiative pushing the communist regime to honor provisions of human rights treaties to which Czechoslovakia was a signatory. Among them was a playwright named Václav Havel, who already in 1969 was an active campaigner for democratic reform and recorded a statement which survives but was not aired by Czechoslovak state media.
Čin Jana Palacha je krajním výrazem bolesti nás všech, výkřikem, který se jediný člověk...
Jan Palach's act is an extreme expression of the pain we all feel, one man crying out on behalf of us all. This is also the reason why it is a deliberate political act. The only right way to respond is in the spirit in which it was intended, as an appeal for activity, for a real struggle for all that we sincerely consider to be right, as a warning against apathy, skepticism or despair.
Jiřina Šiklová is another Charter 77 signatory who drew inspiration from Jan Palach, a student of hers at Charles University. As a reform-minded communist who had embraced the Prague Spring, she left the party after the Soviet occupation and could only find work in menial jobs. For years, she was a janitor at Prague's Tom Meyer Hospital while continuing to do research and publishing under pen names. She also became deeply involved in copying, publishing and distributing samizdat, smuggling texts by dissidents both in and out of Czechoslovakia.
I think that at this moment it had extreme influence, yes, but it was only for a short time. It awoke in the people the better part of their character. Yes? You should take it in this context of this culture. Yes? To make this visible suicide in Middle Europe or in Europe is something different, yes, if you do it in the other part of the earth. Yes? And I think that it has the influence, yes.
Can I ask you, did you personally ever find strength or inspiration from Jan Palach?
Inspiration. I thought, and I think till this time, that it is our duty to speak about it, to remember, yes, and how it is important, like a symbol, like an example for the society. Yes? 100 and 100 books which I sent abroad and which I import. It was not export, import, but something similar. Yes,
smuggling.
Yes, you know it, yes. No, both, yes. And And I think that it has the influence on me that, yes, if he could do this, Jan Palach, yes, why I not have the frozen legs if I am waiting here near the synagogue for somebody who arrived from the West?
Bringing the samizdat.
Yeah, samizdat and letters and correspondence. This example of Jan Palach was for me some example that it is important to do it and that it is not a waste of time.
Former dissident Tomáš Halík, who was secretly ordained under communism, says he was inspired to become a Catholic priest by Jan Palach.
For me, the death of Jan Palach opened another dimension of the Czech history. It was not only the question of politics, but the question of the moral and spiritual values. His act didn't change the history in the very moment, but he changed life and conscience of some people like me, and I think it was the beginning of my decision to be a priest in the underground church. It was perhaps my personal answer to this challenge of Jan Palach.
Jan Palach was also a key point of reference in seminal events leading up to the fall of communism in 1989. Rallies in his name were crucial in mobilizing support outside dissident circles. In January 1989, thousands of demonstrators, mainly students, organized protests known as Palach Week on Wenceslas Square to mark the 20th anniversary of the young man's death. Many consider it to have been a dress rehearsal for the Velvet Revolution the following November and the ultimate testimony to Palach's legacy.